In our Sunday morning service, we're in 2 Peter chapter 2. We're just finishing up chapter 2. And then we have chapter 3, a few verses of chapter 3. We find ourselves in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. And the closing verses of chapter 2, verse 20 through 22, talk about the converts of the false teachers. We started this chapter by saying that the Word says that there were false prophets in the Old Testament, and there are false teachers in the church age. Well, they communicate certain concepts that are false, and as a result, they have those who adhere to the false. So Satan is a tremendous counterfeiter. He has a gospel, which is a works gospel, or a social gospel. He has ministers that appear as angels of light. The Bible tells us that. He has promises. We've just studied that in verse 19. He promises the world freedom and liberty, and he can't provide it because freedom and liberty comes only from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, the truth shall make you free, and when I set you free, you'll be free indeed. So false teachers or Satan or religion tries to get you hooked on false information. It's usually something that is palatable and nice and feels good. But they do have converts. There are false teachers who do have converts. And in verses 20 through 22, we're talking about the converts of the devil's disciples. Then in 2 Peter chapter 3, that ends this chapter, we have the reconnaissance of the last days. People have often asked, are we in the last days? What will the last days be like? Will Russia pull the button and blow us to smithereens, or what? Well, the answer to all those questions are found in 2 Peter chapter 3, but we have to get through verse 20 through 22 first. And have no fear. The Russians will not destroy this world. Neither will the Chinese. Neither will we. It's a prerogative of God, and we'll explain it as he's explained it right here in chapter 3. Where will we be when the destruction of the world comes about, when he destroys the heaven and the earth in the presence of the Lord? Will we go through the great catastrophe and destruction of the universe? The answer, yes. How will we be able to do that? Well, we'll have a resurrection body. We'll have a body just like the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be able to watch it. It'll be the greatest 4th of July show you ever saw. You'll be able to see it. So have no fear. Don't let them try to frighten you into some form of operation or giving up your home or your job, or your car, or your paycheck. If you've accepted Christ as Savior, the great Holocaust, the destruction of the universe, you'll get a front row seat looking at it from topside, and you don't have to go worrying about it or go through it. That's the second chapter, third chapter of 2 Peter. What are the last days like? Well, the only sign of the last days you'll see in chapter 3, there will be scoffers. So in that sense, we may be in the last days. There are a lot of scoffers. And it's interesting what the subject is that they scoff about. The coming of the Lord. And that's where their main thrust is. Oh, I haven't seen the Lord. He said he's coming, and, you know, it's been thousands of years. He's not coming. That was just, you know, fixation of someone's imagination. You know, and things like that. So we may be definitely in the last days according to that concept. So let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 through 22, the converts of the false teachers. In verse 19, the false teachers promise them liberty. And they're unbelievers, and they fall into this line of thinking that which is false. In verse 20, we have what we call a prophecy. A prophecy always starts with a first-class condition, and it says, for if. Now, There are four different types of if in the Greek language, and this looks like this, EI for the word if, and that's a first class condition, and it means, and it is true. So it says, if, and this is a first class condition, if after they have escaped, and here's the word for escaped, apo, fugo, is the word for escaped. We had it before in verse 18, the same word again. But there's a little difference because now we have it in the aorist tense, which means a point of time, one point in time. In verse 18, the same word was used as a present tense, which is continuous. You say, why are you going to that detail to make this distinction? Well, for this reason. Everybody wants to know and ask the question, what about the people who have never heard? You mean to tell me that people in India or in China or in Africa or Siberia, they always talk about some remote spot, Timbuktu. You mean to tell me that if people there have not heard about Jesus Christ, then they can't go to heaven? What about the people who have never heard? Well, this passage is going to show you God's faithfulness and God's fairness in making sure that everyone all over the world, regardless of geographical isolation or linguistic barrier, that God has the responsibility of getting gospel information to those people all over the whole world. Now, sometimes there's just a passage of Scripture that states it. And it'll say something like this. The Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, convicts the whole human race of unbelief in Christ. That means the Holy Spirit's ministry is to get to every individual in the human race and convict and convince them of unbelief in Christ, and they have to make a decision. Now, you may come along as an individual and give that person gospel information. You may say, you know that Jesus Christ died for you, and you can have eternal life. Or that person may come along and hear a radio, or I heard one time that someone said they went to watch this movie Rogue, it was the drive-in, and they saw it, and they, on the basis of that, they accepted Christ as their Savior. Or someone may pick up a track or something. But when they do, the Holy Spirit convicts them and convinces them of unbelief in Christ. So sometimes there's just a statement like that. Other times you see a verse that says God is not willing that any should perish. So then if He's not willing that any should perish, and someone does perish, then that means that that wasn't God's desire. That means that man has made a decision. And since Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world, it's all-encompassing, it's unlimited, and if He died for everyone, then everyone has a chance to accept Christ as Savior. Now, this is the passage that shows exactly what happened. So we'll go slow. That's why I've drawn this out. Here is an individual when they come into the world. I know this doesn't look like much, but this is the inside of your soul. Inside of your soul, this SC is self-consciousness. Every one of us has self-consciousness. Whether we're believer or unbeliever, that means you're aware of your own existence. You can pick yourself out of about three people. You can say, hey, that one is me, I think. Awareness. You also do have a mind. I know that some people don't think that you do have a mind because you don't think the way they want you to. But we all have minds. I don't know if you've watched the playoffs or not, the college basketball. I watch and I have a mind, and the Hawks were robbed. I was robbed. Again. It was a foul shot. So I have a mind, I thought they were robbed. I thought they should have won. But I thought the Cougars were going to lose to Memphis too, but they won. So you see, not doing too good in my thinking. But we all think. This D here is volition. You have freedom. You have freedom to make decisions. That's why I put the side down here. You can decide what you want to eat, what you don't want to eat, and you can decide what kind of clothes you wear, what kind you don't want to wear. You decide, you know, if you want to accept Christ or you don't. You have the freedom inside of your soul to do that. And then we all have emotions, you know, and we appreciate certain things in life. I appreciate big band sounds, especially when they take a classical number, something done by Bach, and they just sort of put the big band beat to it, like a classical piece, and they just jazz it up, like Hooked on Classics or Hooked on Jazz. Well, that's my appreciation. Then we all have norms and standards. There's certain things that you will do that I won't, and there's certain things that I will do that you won't. We also have inside of us, we're born with an old sin nature. And personal sin is a result of the fact, and manifests the fact, that we have an old sin nature. Over here I have W on this side of the old sin nature, because we all have certain weaknesses in the old sin nature. And the scripture says, lay aside every weight, that's every sin, and the sin that so easily besets us. And the weakness here is that area of weakness in the old sin nature. When we're out of it, we always go to that area. Now, over here in our sin nature, we have a strength. And that's something that we do good. There are some things that we do that are good. You know, we want to do certain things to gain the approbation of God. And we want to make points with Him, so we do certain things. So this is human goodness and sin. Inside your old sin nature, you have trends. And usually there are two philosophies since the beginning of man that go on in the trend pattern. That's either a trend to lasciviousness. You know, there were two philosophies in the ancient world that are still in the 20th century. And one of them, since we have this old sin nature, lasciviousness says, well, just burn it out. Just live it out and just have a ball and you'll burn it out. And then there's another philosophy that's called Stoics. And they're aesthetic type of people, and they try to kill it. By killing it, they try to abstain from it, and they hide in the closet, and they fast, and they take a vow of poverty, and they divorce themselves from the world. And see, there's two things in there, and these are the trends. Now, here's our passage. Here's an unbeliever. He comes into the world, this is the way he is. God the Holy Spirit takes gospel information and puts it right in here to his mind, convicts him of unbelief in Christ. False teacher comes along and says to that person, listen, here's liberty here, not there. This person takes his volition, says no to gospel hearing, says yes to the false teacher. And God has been fair and just to give that person information, but they say no. This passage says the latter end is worse than the beginning. In other words, they were better off had they not heard it than having heard it and rejected it. Because at this moment, you could have eternal life and have eternal repercussions. You can have problem solving in time. You can have peace and prosperity in time, and for all eternity you can have it. Now they have an opportunity to get into God's plan. They say no, now they no longer have freedom, now they're in bondage. See, that's what this is saying. Now watch it, and we'll see it in this verse. For if, first class condition, after they have escaped apo fugo, which we had in verse 18, and there we had it in the present tense, here it's an aorist tense. Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. See verse 18. And clean escape there is apo fugo, present tense, which indicates that the victims of the false teachers were about to escape. See, they were hearing the gospel. In verse 18, God was giving them gospel information, present tense. And they're about to respond, you see, but then in verse 19, the false teacher comes along and promises them freedom And so they say no to the gospel of verse 18. Just forget about that. And so now in verse 20, the word escaped or apofugo is in the aorist tense. And the aorist tense of apofugo means that the victims of the false teachers had temporarily escaped when they had an opportunity to hear it. But having rejected the gospel, they're trapped again. And that's the principle here of being trapped. So they had a chance, many chances, but they blew it. But they blew it because of the principle found in verse 19, the false teachers gave them a false sense of security. So in verse 18, they're about to get out from under the concept of unbelief and get into the family of God. In verse 19, Satan hits them with religion through the false teachers, and he promises them freedom, and they become slaves again. The two-child worst of the devil. So they had a chance to accept Christ, verse 18, but they went negative towards the truth, accepted the false, in verse 19. Verse 18, they were in gospel hearing, but they went negative to the gospel because of what is given to them. In verse 19, the false teachers came along, promised them freedom. Sometimes freedom is promised like social action. Today people go to church in Houston, and all they hear is some social action. Abolish war on poverty. See, that's a social concept. Nothing about eternal virtues when Christ says you'll be wars and rumors of wars till we come, and the poor you have with you always. So they come along and say, well, we should get into, as a church, the principle of stopping wars. We should, for example, register guns because they kill people. See? Let Red China into the United Nations. See, things like that. They're social concepts. Dodge the draft, and churches teach people how to avoid the draft. They teach them in school and churches down with capitalism and free enterprise. You see, that's all social. So as a result of hearing these things and promises of freedom and prosperity and liberty, they reject the gospel. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says that Satan blinds the minds of the unbeliever lest they believe in the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the way he does it. So we have the word escaped here, which is apofugo, twice. Verse 18, cleaved escape. Verse 20, they have escaped. Verse 18, present tense, because they've been given a gospel hearing all the time. God's not willing that they should perish. So that's a part of his faithfulness. But they're negative to the gospel because they hear another gospel. Verse 19, the false teachers promise them something, which in turn enslaves them. So because they're slaves, we have an aorist tense in verse 20. As the principle, now they've blown it. And then it says, if after they had escaped, which means they had a chance, they blew it, the aorist tense here. If after they had escaped the pollutions of the world. Now, this word is pollution is very interesting. It means defilement, but this is the way it looks. Miasma. Miasma is another one of those Greek words used in the ancient world. By itself, it could be defilement or mental defilement. Here it's mental because it goes with world. The word world there is cosmos. So it's defilement of the world. And so we're talking about the world system or cosmos being defined as the system of order under the devil's world. In other words, this is Satan's world. So this would be devil's system. This would be religion. This would be legalism. This would be social action. This would be false doctrine. And these things are described in Romans 1, verse 20 and following. So the pollutions or the miasmas of the cosmos, and then I want you to notice the pollutions of the world through knowledge. Now, I want you to understand the word knowledge. Now, notice the word through is not through, but it's the word by knowledge, and the word for knowledge is our famous word, epinosis. Gnosis is knowledge. Epi means full knowledge. Now, here again is the faithfulness of God, like I was trying to bring out when we started. Full knowledge means that these people had a full knowledge of the gospel. That means God saturated them. That means that they were without excuse. That means that God provided gospel information for them so they didn't have to be lost and without Christ and without hope. So these unbelievers who are the converts of the false teachers, they're suckers for those false teachers, and they have accepted false teaching, but they have had a full knowledge of the gospel, which means they had every chance. But we know that God is fair, and there's not one person who can die unless they've been given the opportunity to accept Christ as Savior. But you see, it's not just gnosis or knowledge. Full knowledge, he's done it over and over again, showing God is not willing that anybody should perish. Now, here's the hooker. People say, you know, if you don't go to this church, or if you don't witness to this person, if you don't do that or that, this person's going to go to hell. No. See, this is God providing it. Now, he may use you. But if you say, no, this is his character. See, this goes right back to who and what God is. God is sovereign. He's not willing that any should perish. 2 Peter 3:9. But God is also righteousness and justice, which means that he cannot not give everybody the gospel. So when you realize that God has a responsibility of presenting the gospel to everybody over the face of the whole world, then you tune into that concept and you may be in arm of it. You may want to go along. So when you come to a person and you say in your own language, you know you can have eternal life. Just by accepting Christ as Savior, at the moment that you say that, that's this aorist tense here, and that's this word full knowledge, because now the Holy Spirit convicts them with the gospel. You're hitting with the gospel, and that's where the impact is. Apart from the Holy Spirit's convicting ministry, that person would never come to Christ as Savior. Now, here's another thing. Here's the gospel information right here. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the gospel. Now, a person will say, you know, you have to go to church in order to be a Christian. And in order to be a Christian, you have to be baptized. You see, but you have to believe in Christ as your Savior. Now, that person said three things. One, you have to go to church to become a Christian. Two, you have to be water baptized to be a Christian. And three, you have to believe in Christ. The Holy Spirit only convicts of unbelief in Christ. He blocks this out, and hits on that, and that person gets saved. Providing they're accepting Christ as Savior, not including this. In other words, even some messages that are not clear, God can make that message clear to that person if that person wants to be saved. See, we forget that God is not willing that any should perish. We think that it's just us that are interested. But you see, he's more interested than you are. In fact, in remote spots where you can't get, he can't, because he's omnipresent. And he's omniscient. So this is a tremendous passage looking at the mechanics of it. Sometimes you never see the mechanics. So epinosis here is the present tense, means they had a complete and thorough knowledge of the word pertaining to the gospel, so there's no excuse. It's full knowledge. So these victims of false teaching had the opportunity for freedom and salvation, and they had a chance for both freedom and salvation, and they blew it. You see, not only is salvation the issue here, eternal life, but also the freedom which comes to believers after salvation. Stand fast in the freedom wherewith Christ has set thee free. So they had a chance to get under a grace concept. And by the way, this is one freedom that can never be removed. You know, as you live in the 20th century, you see more and more little subtleties about how our freedom is being taken away from us. But if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're growing in grace by the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ, and you're a grace-type person, they may be able to imprison you, and they may be able to torture you, and they may be able to pressurize you, but they can never take grace away from you. You can even say, in your worst moment, I don't care about grace anymore. I'm denying the fact that I accepted Christ as Savior, and that won't do it. You can't get rid of it. And you can't give it up, and they can't take it from you. You're still in the plan of God. There is no way it can be taken from you. So once you accept Christ as your personal Savior, you're in God's plan, you're under a system of freedom, and the point is stand fast in the freedom whereby Christ has set you. When negative to it, except in verse 19, the false teaching, and now they're in bondage again. And they had the information, epinosis, full knowledge. However, they followed the pattern of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 7 through 12, where it says, Satan the devil sends them strong delusions where they believe a lie and reject the truth. That's 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 through 12, which shows what the false teachers do, send a strong delusion, whereas a person accepts the lie and rejects the truth. Now that's the pattern. We all come to a point of God consciousness as we're growing up. And when you reach God consciousness, this means you're aware of a supreme somewhere. Then, when you reach the point of gospel hearing, which these people have, they're given a full crack at it, epinosis. And they go negative, and that enslaves the individual. So now we have another word in our verse. They are again entangled therein. So far, let's get this verse. For if they have escaped the pollutions of the world, and they have, through the full knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's gospel information. It's right there for them. And when they accept that, they're out of bondage. Then they again are entangled therein. Entangled means to be woven in, to weave something into something. It means for a minute they're about to make a decision and jump out of this nest by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But they go negative and they're rewoven into the pattern of the world system cosmos, which is religion. Therein it says, in this, and overcome. And this word again means to be defeated. We had it before. Present passive indicative, they receive defeat. Now here is a warning to those people. Not only did they lose their freedom in time, you saw that in verse 19, they're unbelievers in time, they're minus the true concept of freedom, but the verse says the latter end is worse than the first. First, they had freedom presented to them, and they said no and lost it. The latter end is the lake of fire. See, the issue here is gospel, Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's the whole picture. These people go back to the false teachers who become involved with them when they're unbelievers. They lose their freedom in time, and they also lose their freedom in eternity because they end up in the lake of fire. So the unbeliever rejecting Christ as Savior is a double loser. No freedom in time, no freedom in eternity. And they've had every chance in the world, every knowledge, full knowledge, not to be losers, okay? So the concept we have, as far as Christianity is concerned, is people want to be losers, it's their own fault. But they don't have to be, because you're given full knowledge of freedom. So all they had to do is accept Christ as Savior, and so they don't, so they lose their freedom in time. Now, that's one of the problems that we see right now with China. Now, people have no idea about history anymore. But China had the greatest opportunity for the gospel you had ever seen, and generally, China turned down the gospel. And when they went negative to a saturation of the gospel, they turned to people who said to them, "We will give you freedom," and those were the communists. And so the communists came in, Chinese, and they promised them freedom, and all through North China, where the gospel was being rejected, Chinese people became communists. That was the result of being negative to the gospel. And as soon as the Japs were out after World War II, the Chinese moved in. They kept on moving. They kept on promising them freedom and salvation. They'd come into a town. They would liberate the town. As liberators, they'd give them a week of freedom. And then they put the screws on them. And then they became slaves. And so today, China is a communist nation. Why? Because a maximum number of people in China 30 years ago said no to the gospel when they had every chance to accept it, and now they have lost their freedom in time in China, and they will spend eternity in the lake of fire, and they are double losers, and we have a historical principle right in front of our eyes. This gives you some idea of how horrible it is to be involved in false teaching and false liberators. Now, while I was working in Florida, in one of the clubs in the airport, there was another liberator who came along by the name of Castro. And he promised them liberty and freedom. And they bought it. And they're in bondage. And you should have seen the people running for freedom into that Miami airport when I worked there. And kissing the ground. And kissing my hand. Because they'd escaped from that so-called promise of liberty and freedom. See? Now this is important. The latter end here is the last judgment, the great white throne judgment. It's worse. It's worse than the beginning, where they merely lost their freedom through strong delusion, where they believe a lie of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So verse 20 says, "For it had been better for them," and this is the apostasy. And we started out with a first-class condition, if and it's true. Then we switch. Now verse 20, first-class condition, now a second-class condition in verse 21, which means that these people are so involved that everything involved with them is negative. They're total negative. "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness." You see, but they did know it because of epinosis, full knowledge, second-class condition, and it's true that after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. Now the key is, what is the holy commandment here? What is the holy commandment? They did know it, second class condition. The whole word holy means sanctified or set apart commandment, which is just a synonym for the Word of God, Holy Bible, Holy Commandment. And the commandment is found in 1 John 3:23. This is the commandment, that you believe on His Son, Jesus Christ. And then the second part of that verse is that we love one another. So there is the holy commandment found in 1 John 3:23. Believe on His Son, salvation, the gospel, and they rejected that. So they never got to the second one, love one another. Because love one another is the Christian way of life for believers. So the holy commandment for them, which they rejected, from which they turned away, and which was delivered to them, is that full knowledge. And what's delivered to them is passive voice, is the gospel. And when they said no, they were double losers. So one, they lost their freedom in time, latter end to lake of fire. Now, it wouldn't better if they had not heard the gospel. Now, this principle is emphasizing something. Why would it be better if they had not known about the gospel in the first place? Because they will know for all eternity what they missed, that they're prize suckers of all history. So here's a principle found in the Word of God. Religion makes a sucker out of mankind. Religion makes a fool out of you. And the difference between religion is the false concept of freedom And Christianity, the true concept of freedom, where is Christ set you free? Religion is the devil's ace in a hole, if you ever played cards. Religion is the worst thing that ever hit this world. Now, I want you to see the illustration coming up next, verse 22. Now, I know this is Sunday, and I know these words possibly shouldn't be spoken, but I didn't write it. Don't blame me, I'm just reading it with you. But it happened unto them, according to the true proverb, and this is quoted from Proverbs 26:11, the dog has turned to his own vomit. Now, I didn't write that, so don't be offended. Don't get squeamish. I don't know if you've ever had any dogs or not. Well, Bonnie has two. And other people have two or more. This has happened last night. This was fulfilled last night in my garage. The dog in concept is an unbelieving Gentile. We have a dog and a pig in this section. You say, oh, I know about dogs and pigs. I've dated a lot of them. I know you were thinking that. You thought you were the only one. But you see, this divides the human race. Either a dog or a pig. Jews and Gentiles. This is a communication of the Holy Spirit. An unbelieving Gentile is called a dog. In Philippians, I know you read that passage, beware of dogs. And you didn't even know what it was talking about. You thought it was a bark bark. But it wasn't. It was talking about a Gentile unbeliever. So the Jews called the Gentiles dogs. Filthy dogs. Goyim. And the unbelieving Jew is called a pig. Now you know a Jew is not going to have anything to do with a pig. He hates this. You call a Jew a pig, you're in trouble. That wakes up a Jew in a hurry that gets his attention. He won't have anything to do with a pig. So you call him a pig and he bristles. That's an unclean animal to him. He won't touch it. Now notice the dog eats something. It's not too good. We'll say something is spoiled, okay? So the dog has simply got these gears inside of his system to handle some stuff that is spoiled. And you see, either the stuff that he eats sticks and becomes energy, or it doesn't stick and comes right back out again. In other words, to be very academic, the dog makes a public display of the contents of the inside of his stomach. Is that all right for them? So when it comes out, here the scripture calls that vomit. So this is the content of something spoiled. Now the dog has an old dog nature. And he goes by a pile of this stuff that came out, and he can't resist it. You ever see that? And he says, you know, he thinks about it, he says, you know, I wonder if I've missed something in there. Maybe there's something there that I could really enjoy. I bet there's something there I can use. So he goes back and he eats it again. Amazingly enough, the second time it sticks, and I can't figure that out. Except from this passage, that's going to be a minute. We'll close. Be ready for chapter 3 next time. The dog walks away with a very contented expression because he knew all the time there was something there he can use. Now, get this. Holy Spirit language. You know, holier than thou. God the Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture. He calls that vomit. And he's making a reference to the false teachers giving this person freedom, and that's religion. And they leave religion, they escape religion, they leave it long enough to get gospel hearing, but when they say no to the gospel, they go back to their vomit. A person who is religious and hears the gospel and says no to the gospel, he gets back into the National Council of Churches, is the dog returning to its vomit, and he eats it. And the next thing you know, he runs for office and wins. Beware of dogs. So we have an illustration. Now the second one is a pig. The pig represents a religious view, Judaism. And this is the way that God regards religion. If I gave you a test, and I said, how does God regard religion? Dog, pig. Vomit, pig. See? The pig, being an unclean animal, is an unbelieving religious Jew. So what happens? He escapes. He's given the gospel hearing. And what he does, he is washed in here, and all the mire is gone, he's cleaned up, and he's on the verge of being converted from a pig to a lamb, see? But he finally says no, and he goes right back into the mire, and the mire is religion, and he just wallows in again. So now this passage is not talking about believers, it's talking about unbelievers. They're suckers, they're all unbelievers, they lose their freedom in time, and they'll be judged for all eternity, and they go back to their vomit, and they go back to their mire. Question. Are you an unbeliever, religious type, Jew or Gentile? If so, then you're wallowing in regurgitation or vomit or mire. That's the Holy Spirit sanctified language. The thing I like about the Bible is that it's very practical. I'm not trying to ridicule or run down anything found in the Bible, but this to me communicates. When you see animals doing these things, it's normal. You know, we're not animals. People try to think that we are or we came from them. But don't let them kid you. You're not. You got a soul inside of you. And you don't have to wallow as a dog and return to that junk and that false information. You have the Word of God, which is alive and powerful. We have the mind of Christ right here in writing. Next Sunday, we'll take up the last days in chapter 3 with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, the following portion of our service this morning. For those who may be here without Christ, maybe you have never accepted Christ as your Savior. We're not going to embarrass you in any way, but we want you to know that you can have eternal life. From this passage, we know there is a spirit of truth, and there is a spirit of error, and there is that which is true, and that there which is false. We know that Jesus Christ promised you freedom. When he sets you free, you're free indeed. And freedom begins at the cross. So you have an opportunity this morning to accept Christ as your Savior. Everybody's head is bowed, their eyes are closed. You have the freedom and the privacy to make that decision. We're not going to embarrass you in any way. We're going to ask you at this time to join our church. We're not going to ask you to be water baptized. We're not going to ask you any of those things. Those things are fine. They are for people who have accepted Christ as Savior. But we want you to know that Jesus Christ had you in mind when he went to the cross. And as you're sitting there right now, God the Holy Spirit, if you're an unbeliever, is convicting you of unbelief in Christ. Full knowledge. I may not even present it clearly or lucidly, but the Holy Spirit convicts of unbelief in Christ. So I say to you, on the basis of that, you have an opportunity. Scripture says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can have eternal life right now. Jesus Christ stood before them. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. You can have everlasting life right now by accepting Christ as your Savior. It's your decision. You can make it. You can go from bondage to freedom. You can begin to take in the Word of God and stand fast in the liberty where Christ has set you free and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Freedom is really what you think. Freedom is really found in your soul. They may imprison your body, but they can never control your soul. You have that divine viewpoint. So this is the greatest decision that you can ever make in your life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of just briefly covering these passages of Scripture. We're thankful for the emphasis on your faithfulness and your grace, how that you're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're thankful you pulled out all the stops and made it possible for everyone to know Christ as Savior, regardless of where they are at this time or any time. We thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.